but it made me think, what would our relationship look like from the perspective of 30,000 feet?
Welcome to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. This is the place where we help committed couples who want to level up their marriage experience newfound clarity, hope, and confidence. We're Matthew and Kim, co-hosts and husband and wife.
In 26 years together, we've seen a lot and never thought it could be as good as it is right now. We're here to help you successfully navigate the messy, dirty, and wonderful world of marriage.
We believe all couples deserve and are capable of experiencing an extraordinary and fulfilling marriage. And each week, we're bringing you life lessons from real-life successful couples to help you grow and strengthen your relationship.
We'll get started right after this message.
If you want to learn how to experience the best, most fulfilling year of your marriage, we invite you to order Matthew's new book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. You can get it at Amazon.com or visit Matthew's website, www.matthewpkaufman.com. Again, that's Amazon.com or www.matthewpkaufman.com. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast. In this episode, we bring you the inspiring story of Leslie Logan and Brad Crowell. Leslie and Brad are a dynamic duo who took their skills and expertise to develop several successful businesses and one passionate love story. Leslie and Brad are living proof that anything is possible when you have a strong partnership and are committed to making your relationship work. Leslie Logan, a certified Pilates teacher, breathwork, habits, and mindset coach, is the founder of OnlinePilatesClasses.com, the first free online catalog of Pilates exercise tutorials where you can also find weekly Pilates classes and workshops. Teaching Pilates since 2008, she has run multiple studios, has trained hundreds of people who have become teachers themselves, and has taught thousands of students in return. When not teaching from her studio in Las Vegas, she hosts her podcast, Be It Till You See It, and travels the world leading Pilates retreats. Brad Crowell has over 6 years of experience managing online interaction for multiple brands, from online marketplaces to music. He manages the day-to-day operations and the team at Leslie Logan Pilates, Inc., a company focused on more bodies taking Pilates. The three brands, OnlinePilatesClasses.com, ProfitablePilates.com, and LeslieLoganPilates.com, respectively focus on Pilates classes online, fitness business coaching, and Pilates retreats. Brad is a business development specialist, focusing on operational workflow, social media marketing, and relationship building. His fields of expertise include user experience and interface design, SEO, community development, and account management. In today's recap edition episode, Kim and I will share our key takeaways from our interview with this dynamic couple. We'll break down concepts, relationship qualities, and key pillar points that they've used to build their rock-solid relationship that will stand the test of time.
Welcome back to the Kick-Ass Couples Podcast and this recap episode of Brad Crowell and Leslie Logan, an awesome couple from Las Vegas, Nevada,
Viva,
right?
Las Vegas. Yeah.
They were a lot of fun. They're a young couple. They work together. They're pretty hip. And it was just fun getting to know them and getting to interview them.
They were neat. They were fun. I got to meet them at a mastermind event in Nashville, Tennessee. And we had a great connection. And I thought they'd be a lot of fun to talk to. And they jumped in. They were great.
Yeah, I love what they said makes them kick ass. And the first words out of Brad's mouth was, I'm going to take a 30,000 foot view of our relationship and look down and say that we're kick ass because we work together, we play together, we are quirky together. So I really appreciate that. But it made me think, what would our relationship look like from the perspective of 30,000 feet?
I don't know what you'd see. I think you'd see a lot of good. I think you'd see the big moments of good, and you know what you'd miss and it would go away.
What's that?
It's all that little crap that we think is so big and important. You wouldn't see all those little meaningless things that some days we each take turns making a big deal out of. You'd see the big moments, the big things, that the ones that are weighty and meaningful. And I think we'd lose a lot of that dross, that garbage that we get hung up in every day.
Sure. Well, they were living very similar lives, very parallel lives, and then found each other and came together and merged their lives, their businesses, and have really been able to make this work for them.
Yeah, I love Leslie. You know, what Brad had to say, he's like, she didn't need me at all. She was successful in her business, had her own place, but doing her own thing. And she wasn't looking for someone to fulfill her. And I think that he wasn't quite sure what to do with that in the beginning. And it wasn't until she broke her leg and had to have some help that he thought, wow, this is something that I can do and show her my commitment, my dedication, how I feel about her. And he said, usually, he goes, I'm the one that wants people doing things for him. So it was rare that he had to or had the opportunity to show up for her in that way. And that's kind of how their relationship started.
I think he came in to help her and he never left, if I have it correctly.
Yeah, he came in when she broke her leg, saw her sitting on the counter with nowhere to eat, no table. And he said, can I help you with that, please? You know, come on, let's get you in a better spot. It was a 500 square foot apartment. Yeah. And he said he didn't leave for a month. And then he had the realization, man, I haven't paid my rent. I haven't been back to my place. I should probably go check that out and make sure it's okay.
Yeah, I think it was a sweet start. And what they really realized is that they could come together with these parallel lives and merge and have a great relationship. I mean, they lived in how many thousand square feet?
500
for over 6 years, I want to say.
7 years, they said, yeah.
That's kick-ass right there.
That is kick-ass because I couldn't do that. So they are mightier than me.
Exactly.
In that sense. But what was so neat about it, and I think the concept came behind when Brad was saying, hey, we had parallel lives. There's not dependency. There wasn't codependency, but you know, we love that dependent, independent, and really the nirvana, relationship nirvana, is interdependence. And so they each had their own identities. They weren't getting lost in each other, but they knew that together they were better. So that interdependency, that synergy, made them support each other and get what they each needed in their own wants and desires, but allowed them to experience it together. And I think that was a nice example of what a relationship should look like. And it shouldn't be, you know, one hanging on the other, be all end all, I can't survive without you kind of thing. And it can't be, well, I'm doing my thing and you're doing your thing and just leave me alone.
Yeah, there's got to be a really nice in-between sweet spot where you can go off and be independent and have your own things that you love to do and that you value that are important to you, your own personal growth opportunities, but yet come back together and merge together and be even better for each other.
I agree. What was one of your first takeaways from them as we look at their time together?
Well, I think that looking at their background a little bit is important to note. I know that he came from a previous relationship, a previous marriage, in fact, and that it didn't end well, and it was pretty, I don't want to say volatile, but I think there was a lot of arguing, and it was a very unsettling relationship for him.
Right.
And I know that Leslie also came from a previous relationship, not a marriage, but a long-term relationship. And so just being able to come together and, again, not have those issues, And knowing that this is the kind of relationship we want, and communicating that with each other and being able to be really open about that made them more successful in this relationship.
Yeah, and I want to talk about that concept a little bit. We've talked to a lot of people who said, hey, I had something before and it didn't work, and it informed to me what I want. And there's nothing, that's absolutely normal and natural. But what's great, if you're someone that out there that has not tied the knot yet, if you're not married or you're not, you know, you haven't committed to this person for the rest of your life, right? That all in, no plan B commitment. having the conversation with them about where did you come from, what is it you like, and what do you need is critical, because it means that before you make that commitment, before you jump in for life, you can be assured, hey, we're in alignment. We want the same thing. We have the same values, and we can figure out a dance that's going to help both of us achieve what our hopes and dreams are. And it's interesting to see couples that have had relationships that haven't worked. They've kind of trial by fire and figure out, well, how do we do this going forward? But if you haven't had that relationship that failed, or you committed and you had to hit eject, having that conversation now is going to make sure that A, you're moving forward with the right one, and B, you have an agreement on this is what we're about and this is what we're committed to.
Yeah. And in that same vein, I think they said that as far as commitment goes, you know, they're very clear on what the other person wants, what the other person needs, and what the other person's expectations are. And again, just being open and communicating those things before and even during your relationship. We're still communicating to each other things that we need, things that the other person may be falling short on and don't even realize it. We're still saying, hey, did you know, or could you do this for me? Or I would really appreciate it if... And those are things that we're still doing in our own relationship.
Yeah, and you save yourself so much strife by just saying, hey, this is where I am.
Yeah, I need this
from you.
This is
what I need. Just the other night, I was working and Kim was working. We hadn't talked about the evening plans for dinner. And she sent me a text and said, hey, do you think we could go out tonight? I have a lot to do. And it's the last thing I can do is just to think about what dinner is, right? And I said, no problem. Let's go here. So she said, I have a need. This would help meet my need. Can we do it? She communicated it. We talked about it. And it didn't become an issue about what are we doing for dinner? Who's making dinner? I don't have time. Well, you don't have time, right?
Right.
Non-issue. And we handled it and moved forward. And I like that. And, you know, commitment to me is understanding what your partner needs and unequivocally being able to give it to them and on terms that work for you. And I like what, you know, Brad said. It's kind of like a morality and a decision. In other words, it's your moral commitment when you're married to give your partner what they need. He goes, we're all in relationships, and it's not a requirement, something that you have to do or you're conscripted to do. He said, it's a decision. You make the decision. What are you choosing to do or not do? You have a choice, and the choices you make inform how you're going to show up in commitment with your partner.
Yeah.
When it comes to creating a kick-ass marriage, do you ever wonder what you could be doing better? Have you ever thought how helpful it would be to be a part of a like-minded community of other imperfect couples who want to level up in their number one relationship? Come visit Kick-Ass Couples Nation, where you can talk with people just like you who are looking for ways to invest in and increase their joy, commitment, and fulfillment in their most important human relationship. You'll have access to a team of licensed marriage therapists, coaches, articles, podcasts, live webinars, and more. Just visit MatthewPHoffman.com so you can learn more about a community that's ready to help you level up. That's MatthewPHoffman.com so you can become of the growing kick-ass couples nation right now.
I want to move on to communication because I found that they have a very interesting style that we hadn't quite heard of yet in communicating. And that is separating out personal communication from business and even all other communications. And I love that because they save their texting and their phone calls for each other and family. And that's it. There isn't any business texting going on. There isn't any, maybe they're working on a project together at home. There isn't any of that going on. Even when they got married, they have a project manager app that they use. And I believe you referred to it as a Slack channel.
It's called Slack. Yep.
Yeah. That they use to communicate anything other than personal communication. And I love that because it really does make their communication with each other very intentional.
It is. And I mean, I think that, you know, we're adopting this idea. We just started using Basecamp in our own company as a way to us commute about work things. And it's like, you know what, in all fairness to your spouse, it's great to be able to talk to them about business things on a channel. So they know that if they need to talk to you or refer to you, or you have any business issues, if you're in business together, or you want to ask them a question about your business, that you use that channel for it. So you can have channels of communication that are reserved for your personal stuff. And I think that's great. So they know they don't have to worry because they work together and they live together. And they've got to have quality communication that has nothing to do with business. And, you know, it kind of reminded me, Kim, you know, talking about communication, we interviewed Congressman Williams and his wife, and he talked about communication, about letters from left field. He does notes and letters to people for no reason at all, just to communicate his gratitude, his commitment, or something he appreciates about them. He writes those letters and he sends them, and he says more often than not, he'll get a phone call saying, "Oh my gosh, I just received your note. Thank you so much." And it doesn't cost him much. He doesn't say much. It's just a thought or an idea and letting somebody know how they feel about you. And I think that these guys kind of had something similar, right? They talked about communication in that way for each other.
Yeah, they did. And they also are, you know, again, when they separate their business from their personal communication, the personal side is we save that for the little notes, the I love yous, the silly little quirky little texts that they may send each other. So I love separating that out. We've spoken to a lot of couples that are in business together. That seems to be a reoccurring theme with people that we have interviewed. And I think these two have it right.
Yeah, they did a great job about that. And then kind of moving into conflict resolution, I think that one of the things that, you know, I think it was Brad was talking about it. He was saying, what's more important? Is it being right? Like, hey, there's something that we might have a disagreement on, or relying on the commitment that you made to the individual? Because again, you have that choice, right? When I'm hot about something or we seem to have a disagreement, what's my motive? Is my motive to be right? Or is my motive to look back and say, how can I communicate from out of my commitment to this person to be tender and to be loving and considerate of them and their needs?
Yeah, I love that. You know, am I right on this? Or you're asking yourself, should I have a different thought process on this? Is there something I need to change? You know, really asking those hard questions. And I like that. I appreciated that. I also really appreciated what Leslie had to say about conflict and sort of her viewpoint was, you know, she grew up with a lot of conflict in her home. Her parents were very loud. They were very vocal, and that was very difficult for her. And she said, you know, I had over 17 years, I heard the same argument over and over again. And how many times do we hear that in relationships or even see it with some of our friends that they're arguing about the same thing over and over and over again because they can't seem to grasp understanding of what it is they're actually arguing about.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not, the deeper understanding, yeah, the deeper, is where,
like,
I'm going.
What's the dream within the conflict?
Exactly.
Right? And it's not necessarily who did or didn't do something or where they're gonna go or not go, right? Or something minuscule. It's that, you know what? We're probably not gonna get agreement on this. Mm. So I've got to understand their position so I understand why it matters to them, and they can understand mine. And we've got to move forward. But to keep rehabbing. Well, that's just insanity, right? Having that same argument again and again and again. And it wore on her, and really, it really influenced how she shows up in the relationship and the agreement that she and Brad have about conflict.
I think we have to be really careful about, you know, when we have conflict, also bringing that person back to the same conflict over and over again. If you have worked through it, if you have already sort of hashed it out and made agreement on it, then please don't bring that back up to your spouse again. There's nothing worse than bringing them back into the courtroom, so to speak, right? Judging them all over again and sentencing them all over again. I think we have to be really careful of that. It's so easy to get caught up in, well, remember when you did, and that one time when, and just continuing to bring up the same issue over and over again. It can be dangerous.
It can. I mean, it's important to have, I think Steph Tuss shared with us about radical candor. And I think in conflict resolution and in communication, you have to be willing to say the tough things with love, be being respectful still, so that you're not sugarcoating it and dancing around the issue. But, you know, if you have the commitment, right, you got that safety net, so you should feel free to go forward and say those things. But I think you also have to learn to adjust to your partner's needs. If you're having conflict about something, it's because they may just need to hear, receive, give, or do something differently. And it's not about you winning the day and saying, you got to do it my way, or you've got to break and do it their way. But it's adjusting to their needs and being willing to give them what they need to feel understood or at ease on a certain point. And I think that's, you know, a hard lesson to learn, but the quicker you learn it, the better you're going to be in your relationship.
Absolutely. We also talked to them a little bit about overflow thinking. And I really like what Leslie said. She said, I think it's really interesting about, you know, your cup being full versus your cup being empty. You can't pour from an empty cup. So if you yourself are not fulfilled, you are not investing in yourself, you are not growing, then you're not going to have anything to pour into anyone else.
You're not, because you're just going to be the scarcity mentality. If you don't have enough, you're going to think, I can't get what I have because I'm going to run out, as opposed to I got more than I need and I can lovingly give and flow out. And there's kind of two things in that message. One, self-care, right?
Yes, you gotta take care of yourself.
You know, you're not going to be good to anybody else as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a son, a friend, a parent, a mom, a dad, if you're not taking care of yourself. And you also can't be fearful about giving away what you have because you don't have enough. That's a scarcity mentality, and that is not abundance, and it won't serve you well on either parts of that equation.
What else do you have on this interview that you want to share before we have to close?
You know, I don't want to give away any more. I think that you should listen to the interview. You know, what a fun, quirky, different couple, and it was refreshing to talk to them. They're really neat people. They obviously are in love and committed to each other and have just done some really great things to make their relationship work in business and in their personal lives. And I'm grateful for the time we had with them.
Go check it out. It's an awesome episode.
Yeah, we hope you will join us again on the Kick-Ass Couples podcast. And remember that happily ever after does not just happen. It is definitely on purpose.
That's all we've got for this episode of the Kick-Ass Couples podcast. If you like the content of this show, you'll love Matthew's newly released book, Kick-Ass Husband, Winning at Life, Marriage, and Sex. To receive a digital mini book of quotes and images from the book, all you have to do is rate this show and leave a review in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen. Then email us a screenshot of your review at podcast@kickasscouplespodcast.com, and we'll get it over to you right away. Until next time, remember, happily ever after doesn't just happen, it's on purpose.